verse 1, and then we're going to have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing. We're going to read down about verse 8. I encourage you always, anytime a preacher preaches, to read before, to read after. Make sure that he's preaching what the Word of God says. And starting at verse 1 in Matthew 28, the Bible says this, in the end of the Sabbath, of course we know that that is Saturday, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered, verse 5, and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. For verse 6 says, and you've heard this, and you may not know much of the Bible, but you've heard this statement, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now I want you to notice several places in the text we're going to look at this morning. But before we do, I want to ask Brother Paul me. Brother Paul, would you ask God's blessing on this sermon this morning? Yes. Yes. Yes, please, Lord. Yes. Please. Open their minds to receive the word. Lord, we can never thank you enough. God bless me with brother now. Help us. Lord, if you have heard someone in this room who does not know you, let the day be the day. For I can guarantee their life will never be the same.
Yes.
But most of all, their eternity will change forever.
Yes.
We love you and we need you.
Amen. All of God's people said. Amen. Thank you, Brother Paul, for that. In this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice in verse 2, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake for the angel of the Lord. You see that in verse 2? The angel of the Lord. It says in verse 3 that his countenance was like lightning, his raiment was white as snow. And then verse 5, it says, and the angel answered and said unto the wind. Now, I'm going to preach this morning, church, for these verses, a message the Lord put on my heart, and that is the angels at Easter. You know, when we think about holidays in our culture in America, we think of in July, we think of July the 4th, and you may have a picture that comes in your mind of an American flag and fireworks. We think of Halloween, which they tell me now is, I think, the second leading holiday in America. And we think of candy or kids in costumes or pumpkins. Then we think of Christmas and we think of Christmas trees and Christmas presents. We think of plays, we think of the nativity scene. And when we think of Easter, we don't have as many pictures in our minds because it's an empty tomb. But there's one thing I got to thinking about. When we think about Christmas, we always, or I seem in my mind, and I associate Christmas with the nativity scene as a preacher. And in that nativity scene, of course, you have Joseph and Mary and the little baby Jesus, you know. You may have one at your home, a little plastic Jesus. And we think of the animals that are gathered there. We think of it some sort of stable, some sort of manger we'll make. We have them here at the church. We do our plays. We have the camels. And invariably, we think of Christmas is associated with angels. We think about the angels coming. We think about, we usually dress up some cute kids and they'll march down the hall of the aisle of the church. And they think, boy, how precious that is. You probably maybe have the tradition like some of us do of putting an angel on top of your Christmas tree, or you decorate with angels. You may have certain things that you do. We think of Christmas with angels. We'll sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn king. But you know, we think of Easter, and I don't, maybe it's just me, but as I read this week and as I studied, I've been studying this now for a while, and I've got another message on Judas Iscariot that I was just grappling with preaching. I hope you'll come back next Sunday. But as we think of this message of Easter and the resurrection of Christ, which is the whole reason we're here today, is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This message and this story, this account, by the way, it's not just a story. I use that word wrongly. It's not a story, friend. It is an actual historical account. And this angel appears. Now, sort of thinking about that, Easter has just as much of an angel in it that Christmas does. And there is a great message that this Easter angel speaks to us and shows us in the text. And even though I preached it for years and read it most of my life, it had never just got a hold of my heart. The Easter angel. I've always appreciated the Christmas angel. I always thought that was a wonderful thing. I preached on the message to the shepherds, and I preached about that. And we talk about Gabriel and Michael, the archangel. I preached a whole series of Wednesday night messages on angels. Angels are mentioned 250 or 60 times in the 66 books of our Bible. I mean, it is absolutely in the Word of God. There is a lot to be said. But here we see this angel appears on resurrection morning. We can talk about the crucifixion, and we can mention the crucifixion. We went over that Wednesday night and all the details, and it's a wonderful study, and it's what it's all about. But let me say something to you, friend. Our Savior is not in the grave. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. Hallelujah, Christ arose. You go look at every other religion and every other founder, you will find their death place. You will find their burial spot. You'll find where they have ceased to exist. But let me tell you something, friend. You will not find the bones of Jesus. You'll not find where He is still in the grave, because He is alive. Hey, the Bible says in Revelation He has the keys of death and hell and is alive forevermore. I sure thank God this morning. Because He lives, we shall live also. But you know, this angel has a message for us. And I want you to notice in the text, I'm going to give you five things real quickly. I want you to notice, first of all, and these are in two-word increments. As we read this text, we come here, and by the way, you know, a lot of churches have sunrise service. If we're really going to have a biblical sunrise service, only women would be allowed to come. Because the very first sunrise service was only women present. You ever thought about that? Look what it says. We'll drop down in verse 4 says, for the fear of Him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. The men were out. Those keepers wasn't there because they loved the Lord. And the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly. I want you to notice some things that this angel says. First of all, we see that this angel calms them. Look what it says here in our text in verse 5. It says, the angel answered and said unto them, fear not. The first words I want you to think with me this morning, I'm going to give these in just two words. Fear not, come see, go quickly, Jesus met. Those words, as you read this text, He first of all says, fear not. We see here a calming of this angel. Now, you got to understand now, friend, I think a lot of folks don't have a fear of God. How many of y'all know this morning that our culture, our country, our area, our community, our church, our families, we as individuals need to have an old-fashioned fear of Almighty God? Remember, you was growing up, maybe your mom or dad said, don't put the fear of God in you. And what that meant was they wanted us to have a reverence and an awe for the things of God. Now you think about coming and seeing. I think some folks act like, oh, I've had this experience, I've had that experience. Now this was a real experience. This wasn't just something to put on social media. This wasn't just something trying to be cool. Hey, the angel of the Lord appeared here. These men froze. They literally, I believe they just passed out. Bible says they became as dead men. I believe, man, they were out of it. And here comes these ladies, and they had, this angel said, fear not. Let me say something to you, that when, if you read the accounts, and by the way, I'm just reading you one account for sake of time. I challenge you to read the other accounts in the Gospels. I challenge you to read the Old Testament. I challenge you to read more of the New Testament. I challenge you to read everything about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the main reason. It is the main message of the church is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And right here, they didn't know how they're going to roll a stone away. What are they going to do? They were coming because they love the Lord. And here this angel says, fear not. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, my life's verse, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some of y'all this morning, you're afraid. You're fearful of things. That some of y'all know you need to get saved. You know you need to get right. You know this story's true. You know you need to give your life to Christ, but you're afraid. And right here, this angel says, fear not. One of the great messages of Easter is that you and I don't have to be afraid. By the way, because he lives, we shall live also. He's the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on him shall not see death. Listen, friend, you can live forever. Most of us have a fear this morning. If I asked you, they said the two main fears in life, number one is death. Number two is public speaking. I don't know if that's true or not, but most everybody fears death. But you know this morning, you don't have to leave this building afraid to die. You can be excited about spending eternity in heaven with the Lord. Hey, you don't have to fear. He comes then. You don't have to be afraid. Death has no dominion over us. In 1 Corinthians 15, where we see the gospel mentioned, at the very end of it, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sister Tammy got up and sang just a few moments ago. In the last 15 months of her life, she had to say goodbye to both her mom and her dad. And it's not fun. That's not a happy time. But friend, let me say something to you. Because her mom and daddy knew the Lord, hey, the preacher could stand at her graveside and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Hey, you don't hold us down because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Here, the first message here that this Easter angel gives is fear not. Secondly, I want you to notice, look what it says. We see not only a coming, but a coming. It says, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. By the way, are you seeking the Lord this morning? Do you want Christ? So many people, they don't even act like they even want the Lord. I say, have you thought about it? How many times I've went to the ICU in the hospital, and I've asked people, have you even thought about being saved? Have you even thought about the things of God? And them say no. Or them act as if they don't even think about eternity. It's time, for church, this morning for us to get our heads out of whatever it is that you've got your mind and heart in and get back, get focused on eternity, because you are going to spend eternity somewhere. They came to seek the Lord. It says, he is not here. By the way, isn't that wonderful? For he is risen. And he said, and what you notice, it says, and he said, there's a period there. As he said, by the way, Jesus said this was going to happen. He told his disciples over and over. This was not done in a corner. This was not a secret message. This wasn't something. They were surprised by it, but they should not have been. You know, a lot of folks act like they're surprised by the Easter story. Let me say something to you. Church is not about just doing good. Church is not about how you dress. Church is not about singing in the choir. I'm going to tell you what church is about. It's about getting out the story that Jesus Christ, our founder, rose from the dead. That's what it's about. That's the whole message of Christianity, is that Jesus up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph on his foes. And they said this. This angel said, come, see. Come, see. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, that it says, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They'll be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, let us reason together. Did you know God says, come on, let's reason. I always say scoffers and atheists welcome. Let's debate. Love to. Let's talk about the resurrection appearances. Let's talk about the 14 or 15 times. Let's talk about the times in the Word of God that's mentioned. Let's talk about the historical record of Christ. Let's talk about Christianity, how it's changed the world. Let's talk about the proof. Let's talk about the archaeology. Let's talk about the Word of God. Let's talk about the impact of Christ. Let's talk about it, friend. Let's bring it up. Right here, the angel says, come, see. We see this coming. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. The Bible says he'd have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I sure thank God this morning that it's a whosoever will gospel. It's any, it's all. You say, what about me, brother? I say, I'm not as good as everybody else. I'm not, let me tell you something, friend. They ain't as good as everybody else either. There's only one good, and that's our Savior, and he died for us on the cross. There's no way that you and I can get to heaven outside of Christ. And they said, come see. Come and see what you see. Come and look. Hey, I invite you this morning. Go see. Go check. Go look it out. Go study it. Compare it, friend. Compare it. I've done some of the comparisons. I've studied some of the religions. And I'm saying to you this morning, hey, there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like him, friend. Nobody like him. I want you to notice some things here. Thirdly, real quickly, not only come see, but look what else it said. It says, go quickly. Fear not. Come see. Verse 7 says, go quickly. Go quickly. By the way, if you come and see him, you need to go quickly. How many of y'all know this? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Some of you here this morning, and you've had some of those doctor's calls. You've had some of those prognoses. You've had some of those, I don't know if I've got another year left. I don't know if I've got 5 years. Hey, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, I saw this week where the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, had to have open heart surgery. I thought, man, if it can get Schwarzenegger, it sure can get me. You have no idea who that is, but anyway, look at it. You know what that means? It can get you. Hey, the greatest baseball player that ever lived, he's no longer with us. Some of the greatest basketball, they're no longer with us. No matter the athlete, no matter how much money, no matter how much fame, I said often about the biggest house in America is built in more states. The man that built it barely got to see it built and died at 54 years old of a pancreatic attack or of an appendicitis attack. You see what you mean, Brother Dallas? Hey, we need to go quickly. We see a commanding here. It reminds us to get involved. You know, I got to thinking this week, church. It's time for our church and our churches in America. Hey, we've been doing enough of the hobbies. We've been doing enough of the sidelines. It's time for us to get involved in our local churches again. We've had too much of Islam encroaching. I mean, listen, you want to get in trouble, just say something about Allah. I'll get in trouble for even bringing up Allah. It'll be on the internet. Somebody else can write or call. We're living in a time now, it's time for us to circle the wagons, as they say. Get back in our Bible. Get back on fire for God. Come and see who Jesus is and live our lives for Him. We're living our lives for things that we just shouldn't be. What's wrong with America? What's going on? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America. We're living our lives for us. We're living our lives for things. We're living our lives for things that are temporary. And right here, this angel tells those women, says, come and see. Come and see what it's about. Come and look in that empty tomb, friend. You'll find when you investigate. By the way, there's been atheists and agnostics over the centuries that have set out to disprove the Lord, set out to disprove Christianity. You know what happens to them? They get saved. They get born again. They come to know the Savior that they come and see. Hey, and then it says, go quickly. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. It's time. Hey, I don't know about you. I like to see our young people get saved. I like to see Concord University get saved. I like to see every teenager in Summers County and Mercer County get saved. Wouldn't you? I like to see them get right with God. Wouldn't you like to see families restored? Wouldn't you like to see somebody, some friend, some neighbor, some person that used to be your buddy or neighbor or friend or loved one? Hey, wouldn't you like to see them get back in church and get on fire for God? If you don't, something's wrong. That means you need to come and see. Hey, and go quickly. You need to be quick about it. There needs to be a haste. You're not guaranteed the next service. You're not guaranteed. I preached enough funeral services in this church. I preached to people that used to sit right where you're at, and they no longer do. So we need to go quickly. Church, we got to go quickly. Missionary, we got to go quickly. We have to go quickly. Another thing I want you to notice, not only fear not, come see, go quickly. But then we see a compliance. Look what it says. And tell his disciples had risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And look what it says in verse 8. I love these about these godly women. You know what the Bible says? They departed quickly. Go quickly? Yes, sir. Hey, how many of y'all, when you're raising your kids, pass out when they say, yes, ma'am? Son, daughter, clean your room. Okay. You're in there thinking, oh, God, thank you. She's such a good girl. Lord, praise the Lord. Why? Because they just did what they're supposed to do. Right here we see they departed quickly. We see this compliance here. Can I say something to you? You want to have some joy. Some of y'all come to church this morning on Easter. You may have not been to church for a while. And what you really want, you want some joy in your life. You want some happiness in your life. Some of those famous preachers in America, that's all they talk about, is how to have joy and how to have happiness. I'm going to tell you how you can have joy and happiness in your life. Say yes to God. If God says, do this, say yes. Yes, sir. Obedience. Disobedience always ends in destruction. Right here, they just said, yes, we'll go quickly. Some of you, we already know. I'm not going to preach anything you don't already know. You already know the story of Christmas and of Easter. You already know the story. Most of you know every detail about it. Some of you could preach this if God had called you to preach because you know the details of it. Some of you learned it when you was a child. You already know that. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. The truth of the matter is you know that you ought to be in church. You know you ought to read the Word of God. You know the truth. You know when you sit home, you know what the truth is. God will speak to your heart. Let me say something to you this morning. It's time for you and I. And look what it says. It says they went quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And the Bible says this, and did run. They ran. Now, that probably was, have you ever seen adults run? If you ain't a super athlete and in shape going for the Olympics, that's usually hilarious looking. I got a feeling they were just giggling and laughing. By the way, it says here, and did run. Hey, the Bible says with fear and great joy. There was a celebration going on. I mean, they were scared to death because they just saw an angel. When's the last time y'all saw an angel move a stone? Let's give them a little bit of a break. Don't be too hard on them. So, man, I tell you what, I was just, no, you wouldn't. If I remember, I visited a man several years ago. And he was kind of an infidel. I think he may have been a little drunk, a little sipping on something. I knocked on his door. I said, hey, I want to talk to you about going to coming to church. We'll talk about the Lord. We'll talk about going to heaven someday. He looked at me in a very arrogant way. He's a middle-aged man, and I was younger then, probably my age now. Don't even ask. He said, well, if I get to heaven, they say it's got streets to go. He said, I'll be stealing me a chunk and coming back. First of all, I thought, man, how idiotic. And then I had enough hillbilly and redneck in me, I just took a step back. Because I was talking to him, I was a kid. You don't say stuff like that, y'all get lightning strike you. Amen? That wasn't theological. I just thought, I'm just going to do that just in case. You know what I found out over the years, though? There's been many with the same heart. There's been many that didn't have that celebration. But you see, hey, when you hear a song like you heard sung this morning, both of those songs, I start hearing about what Jesus Christ has done for me. Brother Austin and I yesterday, we really spent the whole day. He's preaching in a church down in Tennessee today. And we really spent the whole day just studying. We studied the different Marys, for example, in the Bible. There's seven Marys in the New Testament. I didn't realize that. I sat there like, oh, man, I got to get this straight. And I started talking about Mary Magdalene. We started talking about James. Remember, I don't know if y'all remember James, the brother, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and I found this out, that Jesus appears or comes to James in the resurrection after he rose from the dead because his own brother was not a believer. Can you imagine? Sometimes I preach, Brother Ray, I've been preaching for years. Oh, man, they don't even listen. That people don't get saved. I'm just wasting my time. And I think, man, Jesus had a half-brother who didn't even believe in him. But you know, later on, he gets saved and becomes and writes the book of James. And tradition tells us that he is known by this name, James the Just. And stood for the things of God so much so that he ended up being martyred for the faith. And I got to thinking about that just a little bit. And that thing started getting to me a little bit to think about how Jesus comes to his own brother after he rose from the dead. Can you imagine that encounter? I just started thinking that's the God we serve. He didn't say, that Omri, brother of my God, I just kicked. No, sir. He didn't say, by the way, could have. He's deserving to look at every one of us today and say, you deserve an eternal hell because that's exactly what you and I deserve. There's nothing in us, nothing good. There was nothing good in James. But his own brother, who, by the way, can you imagine? He never saw Jesus mess up. He never saw Jesus cussing behind somebody's back. He didn't see him cheating and stealing. He didn't see him laying out doing things. He saw the perfect one live. Can you imagine he comes to James, me? And old James bows and trusts Christ. I got a feeling every time they said something about Jesus Christ after that, old James says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And James helped the Apostle Paul. Listen, friend, I started reading this thing. Hey, the more you read it, hey, there ought to be a celebration. There ought to be an excitement about the things of God. Shame on us for not being excited about the things of God. In the NFL right now, it's all over the radio. They're waiting for the draft. They're making millions of dollars. People just wanting to watch the draft. I started thinking, man, we've got something else. Basketball, thousands of people want to watch, and I enjoy all those things. But man, what happened to the excitement about the things of God? What happened to the excitement? Hey, I'm excited today that when I leave that graveyard, that that's not the end of the story. The Bible says, up from the grave he arose. And because he arose, you and I can rise again. Man, we ought to celebrate that. We ought to be excited about that. Hey, I know there's sorrow, there's burdens. I know that. But listen, that story here, they departed quickly. And then once you notice this, we see this calming and coming and commending. Which you'll notice here, look at verse 8. Wait a minute, verse 9, I'm sorry, I didn't read that verse. Read on down, would you? It says, and as they went to tell his disciples, as they went. By the way, a lot of things will happen good in your life as you go. You start serving God, see what happens. It says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met. Oh my, listen, friend, if you'll run to Jesus, he'll run to you. I promise you that. That prodigal ran, the father ran. Let me say something to you this morning. We see this culmination. What a crowning moment. You ever thought about this, that Easter? You know, a lot of these holidays, they kind of come and go. But Easter is forever. See, Easter never changes. You know that Easter, this story of Easter, this resurrection, is the theme of heaven. If they don't like Easter, they're not going to like heaven. If they don't like Jesus, they ain't going to like heaven. If they don't like the story of the resurrection, they're not going to like it. By the way, it's not about how much God can bless us. It's how great God is. He is to be lifted up. He is to be worshipped. He is to be adored. It's all about Christ. And the Bible says here that Jesus met them. I'm convinced this morning that a lot of folks have never met that Jesus. They've never come to know that Jesus personally. Because it'll change you. You ever met somebody that changes you? I heard about the man that met John F. Kennedy back in, I think it was 1960. And he met him as a young boy. He was in like 6th or 7th grade. And the President of the United States looks at that young boy and says, son, make sure you study and get good grades. Did something to him. That thing encouraged him and got a hold of his heart. He ends up, I believe, becoming either a fighter pilot or an astronaut. I was reading his story. He said, I can attribute it to the one day when the President looked at me and said, son, make good grades. Because he come across the President. He come across somebody famous. He thought, man, he took an interest in me. I'm going to live up to that. Can you imagine? Hey, just by a chance meeting with the President. Here, we've got a Savior this morning that ought to change us. I'm convinced a lot of folks have never truly been changed and converted. They never have come to know this Jesus. And by the way, they turned the world upside down after this. The book of Hebrews tells us the world is not even worthy of them. They came and they held him by his feet and they didn't want to let go of him. They met Jesus and something changed when they met Christ. There's a difference when you meet Christ. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about when you meet Christ. I'm talking about when you lay your head down at night. I'm talking about when you're by yourself. I'm talking about just you and the God. And you have that personal relationship with Christ. That no matter what happens, he walks with me, as the song says, and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share, none can compare. Listen, when you talk with Christ, when you have that personal relationship, there's nothing like that. See, that's the thing that all the other religions I saw today, it's all over Twitter, it's all over social media. The atheists are out in full force. This is their national holiday, by the way. That's why I thought I'd get a giggle right there. April Fool's Day. Amen. I had to get that in. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Amen. Sorry. This is their national holiday. And the reason is because we are, you know in your heart. I've been preaching on the Ten Commandments the last several weeks. And the Bible says it is a schoolmaster. The law of God is written on our hearts. We know we're lawbreakers. I'd have to have somebody tell me. I knew from the time I was a child that I was a law. I knew I'd done something wrong. I wasn't just a bad person. I was a lawbreaker. I was sinful and wretched. That's why the old hymns say, wretched for such a worm as I. We realize that there's nothing good in us. There's nothing good about us. But boy, there's something wonderful about a Savior. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. As he got older, he was losing his mind. He couldn't remember things. And he started to forget things. He'd probably be diagnosed today with dementia, Alzheimer's. And they asked him. He said, well, all I know is this, that I'm a great sinner, but that Jesus is a great Savior. I thank God this morning for that. You might not know much, but I'm a great sinner. But let me say something to you. Jesus is a great Savior. Let me ask you some questions before we go home today, church. Let me ask you this. Number one, have you met Jesus? What an account this is. You're talking about making a movie. We're talking about making movies about the Bible in Sunday school class. You're talking about making a movie. Can you imagine? They can't really do that justice. You realize that stone was sealed? I read a whole account how that when that stone was being unsealed, mankind, they had to be legally unsealed. That's why those guards were there. But then when the Lord come and unsealed that stone by the angel, because the Lord didn't need an angel to get out of this grave. Y'all know that, right? He opened up, he rolled the stone away so that mankind could look in. He rolled the stone away to prove when Jesus died on the cross and was risen from the dead. The Bible says he's the propitiation. That means the satisfaction for our penalty. We owe a great debt because of our sin that you and I cannot pay. And when Jesus Christ, when that stone was rolled away, that's the Lord saying, I am pleased. I am pleased with the sacrifice of Christ. Now you either have to pay your debt or Christ is going to pay your debt. If you pay your debt, the debt for sin is eternity in hell. But if you let Christ pay your debt and by faith trust in him, your eternity in heaven. The question is, have you met Jesus? Have you met this same Jesus? You probably, some of you remember, you met the Lord, maybe you're a child, or maybe a teenager, or maybe it's just been a few years ago. Yeah, I met him. Yes, I read the word and God got a hold of my heart and the Lord spoke to me and I realized the Holy Spirit convicted me and you got saved because you met that Jesus. Jesus changed your life. You met him. Have you met him? Secondly, let me ask you this question real quick. We're going home in a second. Are you continuing for him? You see, if you read the account here of those that met him, they continued with him. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Did you know tonight when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what we're doing is what our ancestors did. What we're doing is what the early church did. What we're doing is what they did during the Reformation. What we're doing is what they've done throughout all of history. And that is showing the Lord's death till he come. It's a great message. It's a great story. It doesn't save us, but it's a picture of Jesus Christ shedding his blood, breaking his body for us. I wonder this morning, are you continuing for him? Are you still living for him? How many folks that used to come to this church or used to be in church and no longer are? That used to be involved and no longer are. They haven't continued for Christ. They haven't continued, haven't stayed by the stuff. Here's a question that happens next, real quickly. What happened? What happened to us? What took place? I was listening to a very famous preacher here this week, very famous. And when he was a young man, he preached with such fire and vigor and took a stand on everything about God and about the Bible. And then over time, it left and it quit. I thought, what happened? I remember when I was a young man preaching at a preacher's fellowship, and an older man got up and reprimanded me, and he said this. He said, I hope he has that fire when he gets older. I remember praying when I went home, I was almost in tears of an older man really making fun of me in a public setting. And I thought to myself, God, help me. I don't care if I don't have hardly any breath. Help me to always be on fire for you and what you've done for me. Help us, church. Help us, God. Help our church be on fire for you. What happened? Let me tell you something, friend. God didn't move. The Bible hasn't changed. Resurrection is still there. Hey, some of you were here last Easter and Easter before that. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Hey, let's come back again next Sunday. Let's keep on following God. Let's be serious about this thing. It's either real or it's not real. What happened to us? What's happened to America? You realize that our ancestors, our forefathers literally carved it in stone? Our ancestors and forefathers built this country. What happened to us? Our churches were built. This church is in Pipestem. Nobody's heard of it outside of here. People say, now, where are you from? Some Pipestem. They say, spell that. So I can't hardly spell it myself. How did it happen? How did it get here? I'm going to tell you how it got here. The power of God. The preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. How did these Baptist churches come in these areas out in the middle of nowhere, even considered by the world standards? How did it happen? How does Korea have some of the biggest churches in the world? The underground church in China is flourishing. How do these things happen? I'm going to tell you how it happens, because Christ's message never changes. But what happened in our lives? What happened when you tithed and was on fire for God and you got fed by the Word of God and the things of God? What happened? Thirdly, fourthly, I should say, if you haven't met Him, would you meet Him today? Will you come today? Will you come and say, I know the story. It's time for me to get right. It's time for me to be saved. It's time for me to trust Christ. Some of you that have lost loved ones in the last years or over your lifetime, maybe. The only call, the only solace you have is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which believe in Jesus shall He bring with them. But it says this, if ye believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the story of the rapture, the resurrection of the church. It's the next thing to take place. But the whole key to that is if you believe in the message of Christ. It's not about doing good. It's not about putting on a suit. It's not about coming to service. It's about, do you believe? Will you meet Him today? And let me say this. Will you continue for Him today? I've learned over time that things happen in people's lives and they don't continue. I visit most of the time. This week I got some messages from a man who's been out of our church for years. I've had a burden. I visit him so much that I finally said, Lord, I'm not going to go bug him anymore. I'm just bothering him. I'm not going to do it anymore. I spent most of my time trying to get folks out of church back, or folks that have never been saved, saved. That's what I do. And you said, what's Brother Dallas doing? That's what I'm doing. I'm praying for him. I'm talking to him. I'm visiting them. And I was talking to a man, and he's got a burden in his life, and I'm trying to help. And I love him. And I thought to myself, man, what happened? Will you come? Will you continue? Hey, the Lord's up for somebody to continue. Now, you don't have to. God won't make you. You know this? God will not make you. Listen, friend, today, will you continue for Him? Will you start thinking about the resurrection? Can you imagine? Listen, we should never get over church like these ladies here. The Bible says, with fear and great joy did run to bring His disciples' word. They ran to bring His disciples. They ran. They were scared. They didn't have it all figured out. You say, well, I just don't know about all this. They didn't have it all figured out. They didn't understand. Hey, we're not even told, and I believe it was Gabriel that's the angel. We're not told who the angel is. In fact, if you read the account, it's hard to figure out which Marys are where. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know everything in the Bible. Hey, simply this, that you're a great sinner in need of a great Savior. And if you know that great Savior, you ought to live a life that's great for Him. I wonder this morning, are we living this angel at Easter? The message of the angel at Easter changed. Let me say something to you. This changes everything. Think about if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. The Bible says that our preaching would be in vain. In fact, if in this life only we have the preaching of the cross, if I can word it that way, it says we are of all men most miserable. If we're just gathered here for me to tell you some false story of how to have a better marriage and a better life, we're of all men most miserable. We're a wretched people. But because of the resurrection, and because of the Easter story, we don't have to be miserable. We don't have to sorrow, as 1 Thessalonians said, as those who have no hope. For we know what Revelation tells us, that He has the keys of death and hell. He came out on the other side so that you and I don't have to go to that graveyard with tears down our face forever, that one day we'll see our loved ones again. One day we'll be with Him. Why? Because He is the resurrection and the life. I wonder this morning, do you know Him? Do you know this message of the angel at Easter? If you don't, we want to encourage you to get saved and get right. If you do, hey, wouldn't it be good today here on this Easter Sunday, say, Lord, it's time. It's time for me to get serious again. I've played around too long. I've been involved in some. It's time for me. Hey, between you and the Lord, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know whether you're saved or not. I don't know whether you're going to heaven or not. I don't know your life. Listen, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not here to condemn. It's not been my intent. My intent is very simply this, to bring up this story and remind you of the message of the angel at Easter. And it's still a message to us today. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, now for our people.